Hello, friends. This is Nathan Powell. I co-host a brand new podcast called Dynasty Double Take with Dan Sanyo. We join the DLF family of podcasts with unique Dynasty arguments in a short 10 to 12 minute format. Dan and I love to debate Dynasty, and we hope you enjoy our banter as we discuss topics like trade offers, coaching, draft capital, and much, much more.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Alex Ricciavato, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 61 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Happy long weekend, everybody. Happy Memorial Day. Everybody going good? Having fun?
Yeah.
Going great.
You barbecue today? That's the real important thing. You stand out in your New Balances and your jean shorts, your giant sunglasses, like all the people that real dads are supposed to do. Well, I guess, Alex, you don't answer that question.
I'm trying to find you the picture right now. I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes trying to find the picture.
How many pictures
for you
did you take today that you need to search 10 minutes for?
Well, this one was from like a year ago or two, but yeah, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, a lot of group chats, there were pictures of there, like some people like just send pictures of what's on their grill. I did not respond because mine was very boring comparatively. All right, well, while Brian's pretending to look for a picture that he's never going to find and forget about by the time he actually gets to it, let's be honest. We have a guest today. We have a member of our Cool Kids Club, the Patreon people. Hey, that is alliteration. That could work too. I mean, that's not specific to us.
Keep it, but run with it.
Yeah, there you go. Alex, I mean, tell the people a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Who is Alex?
As we talked about before the show, I'm from outside Philly. Went to Penn State. Been playing fantasy for 10 plus years now. Mostly redraft. I just got into Dynasty last year, so this is my first rookie cycle. And I picked up a bunch of leagues in the last year just because I love Dynasty and I've become a trade addict. So that's pretty much me. I'm an engineer, so I do that.
You're about to like jump into your trades. Do I not have to say anything at all? Like, you're just rendering me useless? You're trying to take over right away? That's not cool, man.
Nah, I'm not trying to step on your turf. Just saying, if you need it.
No, wait, okay. So we were talking before we recorded, and this dude's job sounds ridiculously interesting.
Go. You want me to talk about it now?
Yeah, tell him.
So I went to Penn State, Brian, as you know.
Yes.
Was a chemical engineer, graduated 2014. And I do scale up of catalytic converter technologies. So I work with major OEMs like Ford, Chrysler. So it's a really interesting field because you're working with the development, the scale up into production, and there's a lot of challenges along the way. So it's a cool gig. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you know, sitting there, he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh my God, he shared me the picture. That's put that on Twitter now.
Isn't it awesome?
It is picture Brian, but like Mr. America Brian, and that's this
I'm
picture.
I'm trying to share it in the thing here too, so that they can, but I don't know how to do this stuff in here, so.
It's weird. Brian may look like he's not 90, but technology wise, Brian is 90.
No, I'm not. I'm up with it enough to get along. No, that's not true. I'm pretty techie. I just don't like if I get frustrated, I'm like, I'm not going to do this right now.
And how quickly do you get frustrated?
Pretty quickly. I mean, right, especially during shows. So
makes sense. Right. If you call yourself techie.
Yeah. Techie. Right? I'm techie.
I'm cool. I'm hip.
Hey,
I just age myself with Austin Powers 1.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have a lot of room to talk. Alex, maybe so, but I mean, you and I are,
I'm the one that streams this, edits this, uploads it. I don't. So you want to fight? We could fight with your peach piece tea.
That sounds like a point.
No, I don't know what's happening right now, so.
Yeah, we're pretty sidetracked pretty quickly. All right, so let's get back on the point. And Alex is the point right now. You said you were playing Fantasy for a little over 10 years. Dynasty, you just got in. What was your first league? What was it like?
So I had two leagues that I started basically with the same time. So the first one I'm still in, second one I'm not. They were basically the same league, and one was with some people I knew and some people I didn't. So I kind of dropped that one because I know people in that league. I'm in a redraft league with them, have been for a long time. So I figured I'll do the redraft with them and then try and find some newbies and people I don't know and try and, you know, work on my craft. It's just learning Dynasty with people I don't know and get that interaction to it.
It actually works a lot better. Home Dynasty leagues just have never seemed to work out for me. I had two, one folded and one of his just not great.
I'm trying to start one back up. It's just that I want to make it different and I want to make it special. So, you know, having just one QB, two receiver, two running back, I want to get away from that and try some different settings out. So,
all right. Yeah. So you said you were honing your craft. Let's hear of the good and the bad. Give us some good trades and some bad trades you've done.
Okay. So the good, in this last rookie cycle, I had Dalvin Cook, and obviously there's a lot of questions as to whether Dalvin's going to be the guy this year. So I traded him and Alexander Mattison and Deshaun Hamilton. I picked up Josh Jacobs, Chris Warren, and Robert Woods. As we'll talk about in the guiding principle, I like to not have a ton of capital invested in my running back. So to pick up Robert Woods in that trade, I thought I was tearing down a little bit at running back, but I still think Jacobs has that upside ability for this year. So I think that was a nice play that I could get off of Dalvin Cook and get on to hopefully what will be someone who's increasing in value.
Yeah, that was a good move. I like it. Now let's hear something embarrassing.
Embarrassing. I think I'm young enough where and young in my dynasty league where it's not too terrible. So after week one of last year, I put up 151 points and I was top scorer in my league. And I was like, oh, I got this team. And then I lost one or two and I was like, I gotta make a push, and Ronald Jones wasn't doing anything, so I traded a 2019 second for Peyton Barber. So that was not my finest move. I did manage to somehow get it back though by trading Devin Funchess and a couple other small pieces, so I was lucky in that sense because I ended up finishing third worst. So that was a tough one right off the bat. The one that I have in question right now is I traded Tyreek Hill last year to the guy that eventually did win the league last year. So I got 112, Hunter Henry, and Amari Cooper. I flipped Henry for some other pieces, and so I'm still waiting to see when ends up happening. That right now it looks kind of good, but who knows what happens after. I
mean, yeah, it'd be good.
Even super terrible at the beginning of last year. So yeah, I mean, especially with Amari Cooper raising in value, I'll let it happen. I'll let it slide. I won't go. I won't go back in time and veto it. How about that?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Veto. All right, so you alluded. What's your guiding principle when you are offering trades or evaluating trades?
Primarily trying to limit my running back capital, long-term invest in receivers, unless that running back I know is going to be a stud for a long time. So in this case, maybe Josh Jacobs. I picked up Miles Sanders this year, maybe him. Other than that, I'm trying to normally tier up, tier down. I'm tearing down, trying to pick up picks, trying to trade up with picks. Just trying to improve my roster that way as best as I can.
I don't like this guy. He's too smart. These people.
Like we said, I'm 27, no wife, no kids, so I have a lot of time to spend on this hobby.
He's got time.
I got time. I also got beer. So.
All right, so
Yes, that a boy stepping up to the plate.
Drink your peach peace tea, buddy.
Locust Lane Game Day IPA. Shout out Penn State. Shout out Mel.
Yes, yes. I pounded that peach tea, by the way. It's gone. That stuff's good. It's like a sugar.
It's not bad.
High,
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of sugar in it. Anyways. Keep it moving, ready? Russ.
You ready to actually record a little sure. podcast right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
I figured we haven't done just a trade show in a while, and since this, I'm tired of this being a tight end show. This needs to go back to being a trade show. So we are going to do nothing but trades, and if there are zero tight ends in any of these trades, I'll be such a happy person. I don't see. Damn, there's one for Kelsey. We might have. We were not going to talk about that one.
I threw one at the bottom.
Yeah, we're going to leave that out. Oh, wait, no, I lied. Sorry, I lied to you. I know this is early in the show and I'm already lying. Alex wanted to talk about stuff. So, Alex, what did you want to talk about before we got into our trades?
So, the Cool Kids Club members will know this, but I picked up an orphan last week and I've been working on rebuilding it. So I wanted to ask you guys, what are some of your guiding principles when you guys are rebuilding rosters from basically nothing?
All right. Give us league specifics. What are your settings?
Let's call it a trade addicts league. Because okay. From there, you can take away the tight ends and take away the quarterbacks if you're not using super flex or tight end premium.
All right. So let's say I take over an orphan in a trade addicts league. First thing I'm doing is trading every single running back on my team because people still like running backs. But if your team is that bad, which chances are, it probably is, and most orphans you take over are going to be bad. So all those people that look on Twitter that, you know, look at people's orphans and be like, oh, that's awful, why would anybody take that? Most orphans are bad. People usually leave because their team is bad and they just mm-hmm. don't have what it takes to take it, you know, back to a good team. So just knock that off. So yeah, any running back capital I can get rid of, I'm going to do that for most likely young wide receivers, unless I have like, I mean, if I have Dalvin Cook or if I have, oh man, like Alvin Kamara, I'll move that for a quarterback because the two things you're going to build around in a super flex league is a quarterback and a wide receiver. So yeah. Everything that you don't need, push it towards those two positions. And I am, let's see, because you're going to want to skew towards youth, but I'm not the kind of guy that's going to spend all of my capital and go for like Michael Thomas or Odell Beckham because right. then you're sort of, you can't build off of a stud and nothing.
Yep.
I end up aiming for guys that are second, third-ish tier down, but have the ability to go all the way up. My first rebuild guy is always Stephon Diggs. If I can get him, I will build around
yeah.
him. Next level down, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd. Mm-hmm. Those are like my three guys that I will have on almost every single rebuild if I can get them.
Good stuff.
Last thing you're going to worry about are tight ends and running backs because those are the guys that, you know, the John Hogue method, you want everything to mesh at the right time. Right. And you need those quarterbacks and those wide receivers, you know, to mature into the league enough. That's when you get the shorter lived or tight end where it's so specific to the times as to who's good or not that you just worry about it then. Brian, why'd you let me speak so much? You got anything to add?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, quarterbacks and wide receivers are the positions to focus on, I think, the most in a rebuild. But, you know, because how many times have we seen rookie running backs come in and make a big difference? They're going to do it again this year. I mean, Jacobs and Montgomery and potentially Sanders, maybe not this year, but moving forward. You know, so, I mean, the running backs, usually you can, you know, acquire them in rookie drafts. I guess for me, you know, I'm acquiring as many picks as possible. In a rebuild, you know, I mean, even if you're losing a little bit of value, you got to acquire lottery tickets, you know, and be strategic about it. There are, you know, methods out there that are above my pay grade. You know, but we have a lot of friends in the community that do a lot of work on rookie picks and, you know, hitting on them and all of that stuff. You know, the more draft capital you have, the more things you'll be able to do as far as your rebuild, even if you end up not using them as rookie picks and actually selecting players, you can use them as assets to move for other players that you believe in and that make more sense for your team in your rebuild. I think, again, the most important thing is what you touched on, and it's what John says, is, you know, you got to have all your guys hitting essentially at the same time, you know. So I think sometimes when people start rebuilds, you know, they don't necessarily take that approach or don't necessarily think along those lines in terms of having all of your players kind of being productive at the same time. So I think that's really important, you know, when you're turning a roster over, is just acquiring pieces that make sense for the rebuild, and acquiring as many assets, and for us, the people that are crazy about trading, as many tradable assets essentially as you can acquire, you know, the more the better. So,
all right. So, did all in both of our inane ramblings actually give you some resemblance of an answer that was helpful?
No, absolutely, absolutely. I think the fact
internet high five.
Nice. Yeah, I think, you know, going younger is always good. One question I had, because I was thinking about this after listening to Fantasy Feast with Ross Tucker, Evan Silva. What is your opinion on sort of those three down backs, like a Tony Pollard or Justice Hill that's coming out? Like, are those guys you would still think about acquiring? Because theoretically they have some fairly decent RB capital, but you would still be looking at them more as a lighter load where they might have some more sustainability.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're cheap enough that why not? I mean, you need to roster some running backs. Chances, you know, you're going to have starting requirements. My running backs failed me this year, but usually what I'll do is, go for handcuffs, the kind of like Pollard. Poor Travion landing in a, I mean, next year he'll be the Geo, hopefully, but I thought he would be the guy that's an injury away from getting a chance. But, you know, you'll grab the guys that are handcuffs or have the potential to beat out, like, you know, Bruce Anderson or...
Yep.
Rodney Anderson. Anybody with the last name Anderson, just go grab, apparently. CJ.
Robbie's in the show sheet.
There you go.
I'm just
all
kidding.
These guys.
I'm just kidding.
CJ. No fullbacks. Oh, man.
Oh, blanked.
No, but I think...
No, wait, hold on. Hold on. Yep. No, I remembered where I was going.
Go, go.
And guys that are going to, like, free agents next year, just in case they land in baller spots, like, all of my rebuilds had Tevin Coleman and TJ Yeldon on them. That did not work well for me this year.
No,
it has
not really.
In the past. it's a risk worth taking because, again, usually they're not going to be that expensive. And that's just, you're not going to want anything of value at the running back position when your team is just going to be trash anyway.
Well, and here's the other thing that, now this is a little bit outside of the box in terms of, you know, when you're rebuilding, you're looking typically at younger players. But I would, you know, along the lines of trying to acquire as many tradable assets as possible, I'd look at guys like Kenyon Drake, guys like James White, who nobody's talking about right now. You know, Sony Michel obviously is there. Damian Harris, they just drafted. So nobody's talking about James White. And James White is going to touch the football. He always does. You know, guys like that where maybe you can get them cheaper here in the offseason. And then once they start producing actual fantasy production, sell them right away and get more tradable assets so that you can keep rebuilding.
Rock on.
Yeah, smart. I think that was on Adam Wilde, Dynasty Owner's Manual. You know, going through rookie drafts, what assets am I looking at that are going to increase in ADP value?
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Owner's Manual, guys.
Another DLF family podcast.
Yes, it is.
That's right, yeah. Oh, man, and people listening, they do a video on Wednesdays, a YouTube Live kind of thing, and it's awesome. They have green screens where, and they put up, like, the DLF trade analyzer, which we'll get into later, you know, as they're talking about trades and stuff. It's very cool. I give them crap in the chat because that's what I do with them too. Love you guys. All right. But speaking of trade analyzers and trades and all of that fun stuff, we going to talk some trades.
Let's talk some trades.
I went rogue. That's cool. I appreciated it. We will start with the Trade Addicts trades. Well, at least one. Two, actually, since we're talking about Anderson's. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 0.05 for return yardage. Both of these have Robbie Anderson, so we're going to talk about both of them. First, Trade Addicts 2. Robbie Anderson for a 2020 second. Brian, your thoughts?
I want the second. But I also understand the deal in the turn. For a contender who can plug Anderson in, I'm okay with it. He's just, I own no shares. So I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't really know. But I personally would rather have the second. I think I'm okay with it for a contender this year who's trying to make a push. I think next year at this time, though, that pick is going to be a much more valuable piece than Anderson is. So that's why I'd take the piece or the pick.
All right, Alex, do you have any actual feelings about Robbie Anderson? Besides, I don't know.
Yeah, kind of a cop-out answer. But I agree with the cop-out answer. I think it's totally team-dependent. I think if you're a contender, Robbie Anderson gives you that boom-bust ability. It might be worth something this year for you, but I think at the end of the day, I still want the 2020 second.
You guys didn't see the sparks at the end of last season where him and Darnold were finally meshing and throwing and catching and scoring fantasy points?
So, yes. But as I think I posted that in the Cool Kids Club, Adam Gase has been like very low in total offensive play volume per game. So, the Jets' offense is just kind of staying away from right now.
You want to say something, Ryan?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about weeks 12 and 13, yeah. I mean, I liked what I saw in those 2 weeks. But outside of those 2 weeks, you know, he had two other games all year where he was over 75 yards. So,
well, I mean, that team took a long time to get together. Then Darnold was a little hurt. And then, so I'm really only talking about the end of the year.
Yeah, the target share is nice, too. I mean, he had more than 7 targets in each of the last 5 games that he played in. Of course, he missed the last 2 weeks. No. Yes. No.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you need me to open it up to look to see if 16 and 17 are...
It empty. Was no, he it was he did not miss the end of the season. He missed games early in the year. That's my bad. It happens. I'm tired. Here. It's a holiday weekend, man.
All right. So we're just okay. DLF Trade Analyzer had the 2020 second as 107.8 and Robbie Anderson at 118.5. So we're gonna call that close enough to being even, but I won because I got Robbie Anderson in that one. And yes, your narrative streets are completely perfect. I am a contender. He is not. So it was the perfect switch. But awesome thing about the DLF analyzer, which really sounds like super plugged, shameless plugs and all of that stuff, but I ain't getting paid from them. But it's cool. Like whenever in the trade analyzer, whenever you pick a future pick, like a little link pops up that shows Devy rankings. So you could actually see these players at what you think could be around in 2020. I think that was like an awesome little addition to it. Because me, who just joined 2 Devy leagues and still, like we were joking, talking about the 2021 class, and I said, I know Trevor Lawrence. That's the only name I know. So for me, who really still has absolutely no idea what the hell he's talking about, it's nice that DLF is looking out for me. But we are going to transition this real quick into Trade Addicts 7, where Robbie Anderson went for Royce Freeman. Now, I want you to guess what you think is worth more, Royce Freeman or the 2022nd?
I will go with Now, do they have the early late thing going on?
Nah, just 2022nd. Plus, I wouldn't put earlier late because I don't.
I would say right now it's probably the pick.
That would be my guess.
But they it's got to be point apart, so it doesn't even really matter.
Say it's got to be close.
Like
though.
How spot on? Like the, yeah. So even that trade, 118.5 to 106.7. So yeah. The real, because like, I was looking at these two trades and I'm like, what would I do with these three pieces? That what, like, what order would you even put them in? And like, honestly, every time I thought about it, it was in a different order. I guess that means these are good trades, right?
I think I have a definite order of saying the pick Freeman and then Robbie Anderson. But again, if I'm a contender, I might flip that order.
Are you Lindsey Freeman? Wow, that is wrong. Are you a Philip Lindsay guy?
I am not.
So do you think Royce Freeman comes back to more work than he had last year?
I think it's possible.
Really?
I think he does. Yep. I think he does.
That was a yes then or no question.
Yes.
Thank you. Have some conviction, man.
Yeah, I definitely think he does. I mean, I think the wrist injury is a bigger... I mean, it's funny because I argued with DJ, right, coming off a wrist injury, that it wasn't a big deal and that his legs are fine and all of that stuff. And now I argue with Lindsay that the wrist injury is a big deal. So, you know, I mean, that shows you my
part of that,
my how smart I am. But, you know, I just think with the coaching change here, I just don't see Lindsay getting the work that he got last year in terms of the volume. I think that Freeman's going to get an opportunity to mix in there a lot more. And, you know, he showed some flashes too. It's not like he sucked, right? I mean, Freeman looked pretty good in his limited work. It's just that Philip Lindsay was like ridiculous for a 5'8", 160-pound running back. So, you know, I think there's a good chance that Freeman gets some more work this year. And in turn, his value is going to probably increase from where it was at least at the end of the season. I'm not sure exactly where it is currently. I know we just said the values, but you know, if he ends up getting more of a 50-50 split in that offense, I think it'll rise.
Rockin'. I agree. I was a very big Royce Freeman guy before, well, at draft time, post draft, before the season started, really, before Lindsay just came in and ruined everything. So, I hope he gets his shot. Not that I want anything bad to happen to Philip Lindsay because he's a human being and deserves every chance he gets. Man, it sucks being a nice person sometimes because I just wanted to say, like, no, I hope he fails, but I can't do that. Brian, you're ruining me.
Sorry.
It's rubbing off.
You're welcome, everyone.
Okay, well, we are going to move on from that. Alex, you put a bunch of trades on here. Why don't you throw one at us?
Sure. Shout out Barter Junkies. Some of the cool kids clubs and I started this one. It's pretty much the same thing as Trade Addicts, except we're only doing 0.75 tight end points per reception, and we're also doing half point PP one day. But the first one is Juju Smith-Schuster for Stephon Diggs and Drew Lock. Southhouse, I know we talked. Oh, Brian's got his hand up. Floor's yours.
That's my Juju on. Did you see that? Did you guys see that? That was my old man.
I know what you were doing, but I have no idea what the hell you were doing.
That was my old man.
Over here.
That was my old man Juju. I was Jujuing on the beat. Jujuing on the beat. Isn't that what it's called?
Oh my God, you're so old. Is that what the kids are seeing these days?
Slow nod.
Just talk, Brian. You're embarrassing bro, all of us, not just yourself.
Bro, you know I did that as a joke, right? I mean, not the dancing. I mean, that was real. So that part of the old stuff is legit. Just
move on, man. Move on.
Okay. I'm taking Juju here. And yeah. Well, here's the thing. I love Diggs too, though. I'm a big Diggs guy. So it I mean, it's not. I just am such a believer in Juju. I just think Juju's. I really think Juju is the next star in this league. I mean, he's already a star, and he's 22. You know, and now he's going to be the number one guy there. There's no more shadow. Now, people are worried about the, what's he going to do? Now Antonio Brown's not there demanding the coverage. I get it. I mean, I understand the concern. I just don't think it's going to matter. I think he's talented enough that the kid's going to keep doing what he's been doing. And if he does, you know, there's nothing. This kid could be, he's got the personality to be, I mean, hell, he was in the NFL 100 commercial for the Super Bowl. I mean, he's got that personality. So I don't know. And as far as fantasy production, I think he's, you know, I mean, is Diggs the number one wide receiver in Minnesota?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I think so too. I agree. I've been arguing. I've been arguing that for a long time, but there's a lot of people out there that still don't think so, you know, and as far as his production goes, I mean, we're still yet to see that season that we're thinking he's going to have. You know, I mean, he's been good. He's shown a lot of flashes. He's put up half seasons of amazing work. He just hasn't put it all together. So, hopefully that's coming. I love Diggs, and I have him, and I have a ton of shares in my league. So I hope that it happens. I don't think Drew Locke makes up the difference between those two players. You know, if it was a little bit more significant of a piece, then maybe I'd swing the other way. But I think I just don't know about Drew Locke. There's a lot of question marks there too. Essentially that's Diggs in a early to mid second value wise to move up to Juju, and I don't think that's enough. So
Juju last Diggs year, wide receiver 8, Diggs number 10.
Yeah. If you're a Diggs owner, would you pay Diggs in a first to get up to Juju? Would you?
Me? Yeah. Absolutely.
Asking you was stupid. I take that back. That was a bad move. I don't know if I would bother doing that. I got to be honest. Like, I get that he's probably, take away the probably, he's worth that, and I get that.
Juju
I don't
is
know if I bother doing that.
He's ninth. He's ninth in ADP this month. Ninth.
Where's Diggs?
Hold on, I'm still scrolling. 24th.
That's way too low.
Is it? I'm looking. No,
that's pretty spot on. I know. I needed to say something because you were getting your still scrolling dig going. Nice.
Again,
that's right. And
look,
I get it. I don't think I would want to.
Right. Yeah.
So if I could get away with sending Diggs and Locke, I would do that. But I don't think I would want to send all that much more.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If Locke ends up being the starter in Denver long term,
eventually.
Well, right. I mean, the thing, and I'm just not convinced if Flacco can't lead them to the playoffs this year, I mean, and they're drafting in the top 15 picks again this next year. I absolutely think John Elway is like he's John Hogan it. He's gonna take a quarterback every year until one of these guys hits. So, you know, I that's the thing with me with Locke. It's not that I just don't know about him. I'm not sure with him. You know, if he ends up being the starter there, you know, for several seasons, then it evens out a little bit because quarterbacks are so valuable in Superflex leagues. So, but I don't know. There's question marks and again, the difference between those two receivers for me, you know, Alex, again, you said Juju was 8 and Diggs was 10
last year PPR.
Okay. And Juju's 22, Diggs 25. Juju doesn't have an injury history and Diggs does.
True.
You know, now again, I'm not trying to knock on Diggs. I love
100% what you are doing. Right.
No, well, I'm really not. I'm trying to justify my answer because I think, you know,
no, you're right.
Both players that I really like. I really like mm-hmm. both of these guys, and I have a lot of shares of both of these guys. So I don't think that the trade is a bad trade. It's not like, you know, I mean, it's not like you're dropping down to Russ's boy, Calvin Ridley or something.
Dude.
And I like him too, but I'm just saying.
Why?
Just because I can, because I can.
Were you any part of this one?
No, I wasn't. I was not part of this one. I would be. I think I would still be the Diggs lock side. I just think that I think Diggs has that potential, but you know, you could totally make that case that Diggs has the injury history. Lock's future's uncertain. Just think that maybe you can flip Lock for something else. Maybe pair him with another pick to get a better quarterback, and that would give you a little more stability there. So, I think it's close enough. With Juju and Diggs, granted Juju definitely better, definitely a tier up, but I think Lock does give you that flexibility to kind of make another move.
I have to start bashing some Steelers, is what I need to do. Because I absolutely nobody takes me seriously when it comes to Steelers.
So I guess my question then would be, if you want to bash a Steeler, pick between what role does Juju play when Deontay Johnson comes in? Because everybody's talking about Deontay Johnson being a receiver of the future. If he becomes a slot guy, what does that do for Juju? Because that's where Juju made a lot of his money.
So I don't think that Johnson is going to take that role in the slot. I think Zach Reed, our friend of the show, as far as talent eval, and I said this on Twitter today, he's one of the guys that I always listen to. He just seems to have an eye for player eval. So, I listened to their show as well. The Dynasty Dummies, he and Kyle, and, they were talking about Johnson and Zach, you know, was making the point that a lot of the success that Johnson had at Toledo was on the outside. I mean, he's not a slot receiver. He's an outside guy. So, I think bringing him in actually. So the nice thing about Juju is he's versatile, right? So yeah, he played a lot in the slot, and I think he's going to still play a lot in the slot. Especially if a couple of these guys, you know, they brought Moncrief in, they have James Washington there, they draft Johnson. If any of these guys can provide some production and reliability on the outside, I think that's going to keep Juju in the slot, or at least give him the ability to move in there at times to create mismatches. So. I don't know which one of those guys is going to hit or not hit, or if any of them are going to hit in Pittsburgh. I don't think it matters where Juju plays. I really don't.
So there, nobody got bashed. So we're going to move on to this next one because I think it'll be a little quick and I kind of want to talk about it for a second anyway. Curtis Samuel for a 2020 second. I think that's way too cheap for Curtis Samuel. But Twitter's going nuts on Curtis Samuel right now. And I'm hearing a lot of he is going to overtake DJ Moore as the wide receiver one.
No.
I'm hearing that as well.
Do you agree with it?
People are kooky dukes.
I don't agree with it right
Wait,
now.
Hold on. Kooky dukes? Don't.
Yeah, Kooky Dukes.
Kooky Dukes, is that where we're... Okay, sorry, Alex.
That's ahead. A Moana. It's from Moana.
I know.
All right.
I know. Trust me, I know. The ocean is straight up Kooky Dukes. Yes, yeah, I know. From. Sorry, Alex. Go ahead. Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore.
Nah, I think from watching him at Ohio State, watching Penn State play them, Curtis Samuel was always a weapon. He was always a guy that you never wanted to see the ball get in his hands because he could take it 75 yards to the house and in the blink of an eye. So, and I think last year we started to see it at the end of the year, his ability to separate and just get into space, which is what he's good at, which is what everybody's talking about Paris Campbell doing. You know, I think he has the potential to really come onto the scene this year and have a blow up year, where he ends up with a bunch of touchdowns that most people just didn't think were possible. Like, he'll outdo all of his opportunity scores and all of those metrics. He'll just be able to make plays with the ball in his hand. I don't think he takes over DJ Moore's role. I think DJ Moore will step up this year as well. So I wouldn't go that far, but I think a 2022 right now, is too cheap for Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, totally. I have always liked Curtis Samuel. I loved paying a mid-early second for him at the end of last year, you know, realizing that he was getting all those targets consistently, which everyone was, that's what everyone was worried about, that he would be way too boom bust, but he was seeing 5-7 targets a game, at, you know, before Cam's arm fell out of his shoulder socket and he wasn't able to actually throw the ball. Yeah, but now Twitter's going kind of nuts, which was why I was really surprised to see Curtis Samuel for a 2022nd. To me, if you got to pay 109-ish for him now, and honestly, this draft, if it's not tight end premium or anything like that, I might consider doing that. Now, you scoffed about Curtis Samuel being the wide receiver one over DJ Moore, but how do you feel about Curtis Samuel in general, Brian?
I'm not a fan.
That's your hashtag analysis. Not a fan. That's it.
Hashtag. No, I think Alex makes a good point. I think for me, he's if you like Paris Campbell and guys like Paris Campbell, you like Curtis Samuel. Very similar to me.
Oh yeah, and you're not a Campbell guy.
And I'm not a Campbell guy. And now I'm coming around to Campbell. See, here's the difference too. Andrew Luck. That's the difference to me. I mean, Cam Newton has made one receiver relevant. One. And the guy, and really you can't even say that because Steve Smith was relevant well before Cam Newton got to Carolina. Who else has he made relevant at the wide receiver position? Christian McCaffrey. That's who. And he's not a wide receiver. I mean, you can argue Devin Funchess. Okay. I mean, I guess you can argue that. But I don't think the situation there with the type of player that Curtis Samuel is, to me, it just doesn't. I'm not a fan. I just don't think that clicks. Now, here's the thing. I could be totally wrong. I don't like a lot of those types of players, Samuel, or the players that I see those guys as. So Samuel and Campbell and Percy Harvin. I always go back to Percy Harvin. Now, Percy Harvin was really productive for a couple years, right? But I just was never, I'm just not a fan of those guys typically. Tyreek, I wasn't a fan of Tyreek Hill originally. Now, I mean, he's a little bit different on the field stuff. He's a little bit different. You know, he's just ridiculous. So, but, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it with Samuel. And he's a guy that if I could get a 2022nd in that loaded class, I would absolutely sell him for that. I'd rather have Robbie Anderson than Curtis Samuel. That's how strongly I feel about that.
Tracy Morgan, gasp, Jeff.
Sorry. Actually, I'd probably take Samuel because Anderson had off the field some stuff and I'm risk averse, so.
Yeah, he didn't get suspended, though. There's at least that.
True.
All right, so let's hit up a... Okay, since you're both here.
Hey, one more point about Samuel. So we were talking about the target hog stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The most targets that he had in a game was week 15. Carolina was at Atlanta, or played Atlanta at home. He had 13 targets. Cam Newton did not play in that game.
That was 13 is also unrealistic anyway. Was who? Tyler? Taylor Heinicke?
Yes, Heinicke.
All right. Yeah, 13. He's not that guy. I mean, I don't think anyone on Carolina besides Christian McCaffrey is a 13 target guy.
Right.
That's fine. But we're going to move on to a listener question. And I figure, given my audience of the two of you, let's hit up at Dufresnes1, Chris Godwin for Kiki QT and Tyler Lockett. I've seen a lot of Tyler Lockett and Chris Godwin talk. So besides homers over here, I figured it was, I guess, on the pulse to ask this question. So whoever feels like speaking first, go for it.
He's pointing at me. So I think this is pretty disrespectful to Tyler Lockett. I think to include Kiki Kuti and Tyler Lockett to quote unquote tier up to Chris Godwin, I think that's a lot to pay. I think everybody's got the hype on QT and everybody's got the hype on Godwin. And I know we talk about Tyler Lockett filling in for Doug Baldwin, which I think is pretty possible. And despite Lockett's hyper efficiency last year, I think Lockett can still provide that this year, especially with no targets to Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's so weird. It's like the hype of Chris Godwin has catapulted him to early first value.
Mm-hmm.
But the production of Tyler Lockett has made people pull his value back because it's like, no, that can't happen again. So he has to be worth less than what we thought he was worth. At worst, these two guys' value should be equal. There's no way you should be adding. All right, Kuti, he doesn't really have value behind him, but he has plenty of hype behind him. I don't think you should have to add a guy like QT to get to Godwin. So I'm on the Lockett side. So I get a little bit of a homerism going, even though I think it's logical as opposed to Homer. You go, Brian.
So I agree. I think this the value here is with the Lockett side for sure, especially with Kuti added to the deal. I think the values between Lockett and Godwin are probably pretty close. Or should be, you look at their seasons last year. Now, I mean, here's the difference. Tyler Lockett, I think a lot of people feel like Tyler Lockett is underappreciated, right? I mean, we talk about the efficiency stuff, but it's like, I mean, he's been good for several seasons. You know, he's been reliable. He's been, you know, whatever. And then he had this awesome, humongously great year last year where he was super efficient, where he scored double-digit touchdowns. Awesome year. When you look at the stat line, Godwin's stat line in his second year in the league is pretty close. Lockett had 57 catches, 965 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Godwin had 59 catches, 842 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So, I think there are a lot of people. Yes, there's hype behind Chris Godwin. Obviously, there's a lot of people that believe in him. And then there's a faction that think he's vastly overrated. I don't, for sure. But I also do think Tyler Lockett is a little bit underrated. So, yeah, I mean, I think the point about them being pretty close in value, I think that's accurate. I think they're probably pretty close, and because Kuti's in the deal, that would slant me the other way on that. Both players I like, though. I mean, all three are players I like, so this is a good deal. I mean, I think the value's definitely on the Lockett side here.
Do we have an ADP on them?
So Godwin is Lockett 63. Godwin is 48.
What?
So he's going around almost a round and a half.
That's ridiculous. I have Godwin on a few teams. Maybe I got to go make some trades. If I can get Lockett plus for Godwin. All right, I'm glad you're making me edit now, because I'll make some trades before I actually go and edit it tomorrow. Good. Thank you for, you said you were breaking up before, and then in the chat, Jay just said, no, not breaking up for him. So, awesome. Editing for nothing. Great. Thanks.
I will say, in looking this up, Dynasty Trade Calculator has this as like pretty much even, so I kind of feel like that's where this might be coming from, but like I said, I'm still Lockett side.
Boy, do you want to go right now? Let's go, big boy. All right.
Trade Addicts.
You want to go Trade Addicts League? Okay.
Yeah, let's do that TA3 trade.
All right. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Andy Isabella for Michael Thomas. I don't think that's enough for Michael Thomas.
I do.
Wow.
Did you do this?
No, but I do. So here's the thing. I think my initial reaction to this is no chance, right? Three players that have never played down in the league for one of the premier receivers in the league who's tied to Drew Brees, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in a passing offense that throws the ball 50 times a game, even though they're moving to a running style, whatever, right? But then I look at this and I say, okay, so you're talking about in Murray and Haskins, you're talking about two guys that are going to be, I mean, I want to be careful here.
Caution to the wind, just speak.
Are these guys that have the potential to be top 10 quarterbacks in this league within three seasons?
Top 10, I don't know, but super usable, super flex quarterbacks, absolutely. I mean, I like Haskins, and you know Murray has that ceiling.
But well, yeah, but I think, I mean, but again, we're talking about one of the top five wide receivers in the game, or in fantasy value anyway, dynasty value, right? So if we're looking at these guys, and I'm thinking, okay, so we say one of them has QB1, like it's reasonable to think one of the two of them could be a QB1. Here moving forward, right? Not yeah. Starting quarterback in the league, because they're both probably going to be that, but one of them, it, for fantasy purposes, could be a QB1. If that's the case, and then you figure the other one is like a top end or at least mid QB2. Okay. Plus Andy Isabella, who's going right now in early second round of rookie drafts. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I think initially my gut instinct is no, not enough. You don't trade studs without getting studs, right? I mean, how many times have we said that, Russ? But in this case, because of the position of those two players in super flex leagues, I don't know. I'd have a hard time trading Thomas for that. And at the same time, I don't know that I could pass it. I'd probably try to get a little extra, but just to make me feel better. But I don't think it's a bad deal. I really don't.
Yeah, I think I want something better than Andy Isabella at the end of that. I agree with every single thing you're saying, but it just goes against every fiber of my being to trade Michael Thomas for three rookies. I mean, that's really what it is. But real quick, I want to talk about the draft analyzer, because this is something that fixes, I don't know, because I haven't played with it enough, but this is a 3-for-1, and we always say one of the biggest problems with using trade calculators, trade analyzers, just compilation value. Hey, these six guys equal Odell Beckham, so the trade has to be fair. This actually right. accounts for that, and that's freaking awesome. Hold on, I lost it. There it is. This trade was actually, Michael Thomas is worth 810.2 points. The other side was originally 598.2, but it took into account that this was a 3-for-1 trade and actually took off 74.8 points. Where that number came from, I honestly don't know. You know, I really thought of it this morning that, you know, we should really start doing this, and didn't have the time to really look into it. But I think that's brilliant, because that is one of the biggest issues anyone has with trade calculators. You don't always agree with the value, because that's just, people have their own values, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. And two, you could do stuff like 6 people equal 1, which you should never do. A 6-for-1 trade, it's never worth it. So yes, I'm still way Michael Thomas on this. How about you, Alex?
I agree. There's no super flex DLF ADP data, which I was really hoping for May at least. April has it as Kyler Murray as QB 17 and Dwayne Haskins as QB 25. I'm sure both of those values would go up now that the draft has been done and we've been a month away since that. So I think their values go up, and I think DLF Trade Analyzer will account for that. But I still think it's Michael Thomas by, again, I would say a decent margin. You know, three rookies, never played it down. I think, Brian, you're right. I think Kyler's going to be probably at the worst a low-end quarterback one, and I think Dwayne Haskins is probably a mid-tier quarterback too. So I think you're getting good value there. And the Redskins in the future will hopefully be better than they are now, which is definitely a concern. And Isabella's a rookie in an offense we think is going to do pretty well. But I still want Michael Thomas. I still want that stud, that dominance at the wide receiver position in one roster spot.
So question for you guys, because, I mean, this is good discussion, because the question I'm about to ask applies to a lot of players across the league, because we have a wave of quarterbacks who are on their way out, right, within the next year, two, three, maybe. Are you at all concerned for life after Drew Brees with Michael Thomas? You know, we talk about it. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I do have a Michael Thomas share, and it does, and that thought does cross my mind. So I think, you know, there wasn't a lot of promise in that one Teddy Bridgewater appearance last year. So if he is the quarterback of the future in New Orleans, need to see a little bit more out of him in whatever opportunity he does get.
If Sean Payton wants him there, I have faith in it. I mean, I trust what Bill Belichick does at this point. I'll trust what Sean Payton does at this point. It's just kind of where I'm at with it.
Okay, so just for...
If Drew Brees and Sean Payton leaves with him, yes. That's, I am worried for my Michael Thomas shares.
And there's rumblings of Sean Payton to the Cowboys once Jason Garrett's contract expires at the end of the year. So that would be an interesting change to me.
Oh, my God.
Though, yay for my Amari Cooper shares.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater on a 1-year deal with New Orleans. Maybe he picks up and moves to Dallas with him.
So let's do that real quick. So what about a couple of these? Let me just throw out a couple of the other wide receivers that have quarterbacks that could be moving on within the next year or two. And tell me if you guys have concerns. So these are just the ones that are popping into my brain like immediately. So Juju, of course, with Ben. Now, Ben just signed a contract, so it's three more seasons, at least, barring injury. Are you guys worried about that at all? I mean, probably not as much, I guess, since the contract.
Juju's pretty new to Ben Roethlisberger also. So, okay. And, yeah, no, not worried.
What about
Juju with 2 years left on a rookie deal and Ben with probably 2 or 3 years left in Pittsburgh? I think I'm good with that.
Yeah. What about Keenan?
Philip Rivers isn't going anywhere. He has to afford so much college.
Philip, well, that's, yeah. The other way to look at that is he's now has 9 kids or something like that. So maybe that 9th one pushes him over the edge. I did read an article where he said he's like not going to hang around though. So
when he thinks he's done, he's leaving. That's what it is.
But
he's such a fierce competitor. I don't
see
him.
He's a man of conviction. There's no doubt.
Maybe once he starts being bad, he'll walk away. But he did really well last year, so it won't be a decline. It'll be a cliff. So who the hell knows? But I'm not worried about Los Angeles. That Los Angeles right now. I'm not worried about the other one, but you know, there's still multiple teams, and it's confusing to me. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay, we'll move on. From one stud to another. I almost said from one stud to another, Eitan Mosia. Yep, that's our stud. That's the stud we're talking about. Eitan. That's at Eitan Mosia. He brings to the table DeAndre Hopkins for Kenny Golladay, Marlon Mack, and a 2020 first.
Well, I know which side he got.
But the reason I loved this was because in the analyzer, DeAndre Hopkins, 866.8. And the other side of Golladay, Mac, and the 21st was actually worth a decent amount more. But because it took out that 3-for-1 discount, it was 868.1, which made this pretty much completely even. Which, if I'm trading a stud away, this is, and I'm getting a pick back, this is more like what I want than that other trade. That's really why I wanted to bring this one up too, because A, I thought it showed the analyzer working perfectly. And two, as a nice mirror to that Michael Thomas trade where it's unknowns everything. But here, yeah, Kenny Golladay, who we know is stable, we know is steady, whether he's the number one we want him to be, who the hell knows? Marlon Mack will give you production, that's the word, at least this year. Hopefully he won't get replaced next year. Who knows? But if he does, you could just draft his replacement with that 2021st and you're set.
100%. Totally agree with that.
So if I'm rebuilding a team and DeAndre Hopkins is the only guy I got, this is the kind of something I'm looking for if I'm sending him back. And I love Mac. I love 21st, and I'm okay on Galladay. I don't necessarily know how I feel. I'll like him more, I'm sure, when there's actually other offensive players around him as opposed to the end of last year. How do you guys feel about this one?
I think if you were last year, like that sixth playoff guy, and you had DeAndre Hopkins on your team and you got this deal, I think I'm taking it, because I think you have two pieces that you can really build with this year, and you can use that 21st to flip. And I think if you're rebuilding, you can take those three pieces and you can keep going with Galladay and Mac. So, I mean, I like that side. And if you feel like if you got the depth to make that trade for DeAndre Hopkins, take that deal. So, I mean, I think this is a win for both sides. I think this is a really, really good trade.
Yeah, I like it. I thought this was a good one. I clicked on the wrong button. Here we go. Brian, did you talk yet? I didn't.
Yeah, so Eitan thought I was coming after him. I posted on Twitter a couple days ago. I saw a bunch of DeAndre Hopkins trades, like five of them in one day. And a couple of them were awful. This was not one of them. I think he thought I was talking about his, and I was not. But this deal, I like this deal too. I think it's a good deal all around both ways. For me, I would probably have to be looking more or leaning more towards a rebuild to deal Nuke for this. But at the same time, if I was in that scenario, I think the pieces, you know, Alex, one of the things that you said was, you know, you have two young pieces that you can rely on right away, and the 2021st that you could flip to get another, you know, a third piece essentially, that could help you right away. So for me, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, if you don't have depth and you're in the middle, just like kind of like you said, that fifth or sixth playoff spot, I think a deal like this would be all right too, because you do get, you know, you get two guys that you're going to be able to rely on, and that piece in the pick that you can flip. It's exactly what you said, essentially. I don't mind the deal at all. I think when I first saw this one, I was like, nope, not enough for Nuke. I mean, I love Hopkins. He's an unbelievable wide receiver, catches everything. You know, he has a quarterback there that, unless his knees give out or he gets hurt, is a good quarterback. I mean, top five quarterback fantasy wise. So, you know, I love his situation now. It's better than it's ever been. So, you know, my brain doesn't work right when I hear Nuke getting traded, if it's not just something that is overwhelmingly, you know, imbalanced, I think. But I think in this case, you know, trying to look objectively at the deal, I think it's a pretty good deal all the way around. I can see why both sides would have made it. So,
rock on.
Pretty sure in the, what was it, the 115 receptions last year that Nuke had, he had zero drops, I'm pretty sure.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. But I think it was Lewis too in Cool Kids Club, said that I think he's expecting Darryl Bevell to target Galladay at least 100 plus targets, to the point where he could be seeing close to 100 catches. So I think that's he's still a really good piece to build around right now.
It depends how many third downs they get, because, you know, Bevel's just running on first and second anyway.
You really hate him, don't you?
He's not good. I don't know what to tell you.
Great for Carry On and great for Galladay. So
whatever. I'll moving on. Let's talk about ours, Brian.
Yeah.
Trade Addicts 4. Nick Chubb and Brandon Cooks for Aaron Jones, Michael Thomas, and a 2023rd. Now, since this was me and Brian, I figure, Alex, it would make sense for you to talk first.
I'm on the spot. Michael Thomas side. All day. I'm a Chubb owner. I mean, I have a share of Chubb. No, I have a Chubb share, and I am definitely thinking about what's going to happen the second half of the season. And I just think that I've been coming around more to Aaron Jones just because I think Dexter Williams' role is more there to replace Jamal Williams. So I think Aaron Jones, what you really have to talk yourself into is whether or not this is going to be RBBC. And Matt LaFleur with Derrick Henry last year went very strong Derrick Henry at the end of the year. So we saw Jones's ability to make receptions in that game against Seattle. And I think Aaron Jones has some, he has no draft capital, fifth round pick, but he has potential this year to make a significant impact. So, and obviously Michael Thomas way over Brandon Cooks. So Michael Thomas side.
All right. So since this was just your offer and I accepted it, why don't you talk a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, this was literally the offer that I sent. So I sent it this way. You know, I told Russ it was coming. I said, you know, I think I put one together in Trade Addicts 4 that I think makes sense and that you're going to like, and sent it over. And he's like, damn. I mean, that was the word. He said, yep. Damn. And it wasn't a few minutes later, and it was a done deal. So, I think for me, you know, this one was tough. I'm acquiring Nick Chubb everywhere I can acquire him. I love this kid. I think, you know, you're looking at the second leading rusher in the SEC, the Southeastern Conference, best college football conference in the land. Yeah, I said it, Alex. Don't judge me. It's okay. we're Big Ten guys, but the SEC historically is the best, you know, they're, yeah, owned. I mean, so here's the thing. I think, you know, Chubb and look, Chubb, like I said, second all-time leading rusher. I think Herschel Walker's first. And he did it. He tore his knee to pieces in like the third game of his sophomore season. So he did that with the majority of that coming after the injury. Okay. Then he goes to the combine. And if it weren't for Saquon Barkley being in the same, you're welcome. Being in the same
matter of time.
I always get it in. But for real, makes, I mean, if it wasn't for Saquon Barkley breaking the combine, essentially Nick Chubb was ridiculous at the combine. He had an unbelievable combine. You know, and then you saw it last year. You saw it last year in Cleveland when they were using him. You know, the Oakland game was just unreal watching him run all over them. What did he have, like three carries, but he had like 780 yards or something? Not really, but yeah. So I don't know. I think the thing that I like the most about Nick Chubb too, in the way that Cleveland has built that offense, is, you know, there's so many weapons there. So I think some people look at that and it's like, well, they're going to throw the ball all over the place. They have Odell, they got Baker, and, you know, back there slinging it, and Jarvis and Joku and everybody, you know, it's a high powered, oh, they're going to throw it all over the place. And I think they are. I don't think Chubb needs, so I think he's capable of being a 25 carry a game guy. I don't think they're going to, I don't think he needs that to produce elite numbers. I think if he touches the ball 15 to 18 times a game, he's going to he's just going to ball out. So he's going to be facing, he's never going to see an 8-man front, right? I mean, maybe fourth and one or something. I don't know. I'm acquiring Nick Chubb everywhere I can get him. His current value in terms of ADP and all that is high, so you got to pay a price to get him.
Yep.
And that's what I did here. I went and I got my guy in this situation. Yeah, it hurts giving Michael Thomas up. I do have DeAndre Hopkins in this league as well, and I have a lot of wide receiver depth. I have Diggs. I have I got a bunch of guys in this league. So I felt like I could give up one of my elite receivers to acquire Nick Chubb. And then Brandon Cooks is a guy that I feel like is always undervalued. You know, Twitter hates him. literally hates him. Trader Joe and I always talk about that. You know, Twitter just can't stand Brandon Cooks, and I like him. I think he's a great player, and is undervalued. So I guess the hardest piece for me in this deal was Aaron Jones. Because I am on record as being one of the charter members of the Aaron Jones fan club. I mean, Addison Hayes, and John Hogue and I we've been on the Jones train since like day one. So, it was probably the hardest part of the deal for me, to be honest, because I just want to be right on that one. And I think, you know, he showed some stuff last year. I'm not 100% sure what that backfield's going to be. And, you know, again, they're an offense that they're going to throw the ball a bunch too. So it's just a matter of it's guesswork on that end for me. I mean, I still think Jones has a legitimate chance at being a stud. And if he does, well then, yeah, I probably lost out in the deal. But I took a chance on it here the opposite way from what I usually do. And I'm okay with the deal. And Russ, I think you liked your side a lot. So why don't you go ahead and tell the people how you felt about it?
So Brian messages me and he's just like, and he said exactly what he said. He's like, I got a big boy cooking. You're going to like it. It's going to be fair. And I'm like, that's annoyingly how our trades usually work out. So I see this. I did not see this one coming, even though he has been. I sent him Nick Chubb in Trade Addicts too, so I thought he had his fill. Oh, he had his fill of Chubb. I'm sorry that came out. I apologize to everyone listening to the podcast.
Unbelievable.
Damn it. But yeah, no, I saw this and I stared at it for like a good 10 seconds and I'm like, yeah, no, this. Yeah, no, I, yeah, and like my brain couldn't finish a sentence. Like, this is what was happening. I'm just like, I'm not gonna bother countering. And I was just like, yeah, no, I'll do that. it seems perfectly on point for like one of our trades. I don't even know where the calculator is off in this, but it's not as, I don't know if I read it out loud. The analyzer has it as 1135 to 999. And I mean, that's almost Aaron Jones off. And that's kind of crazy to me. Like that. So someone's trading Nick Chubb and Brandon Cooks for Michael Thomas and a third. Like that's, I don't think anyone's doing that. So maybe it is just underrating Brandon Cooks like the rest of the internet does. So like maybe we just figured it out right now. So maybe we got to talk to Zingoni a little bit. Get those numbers a little higher for Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is 38th in ADP, and Aaron Jones is 48th.
Yeah, that's just No, to me this was perfect. Like it's a lot of people. I didn't look at the ending vote. I a lot of people were saying, commenting that they were Michael Thomas side, which of course I loved because I got the Michael Thomas side. But yeah, I know this was perfectly like to the point where I did not counter to try and get any more out of him. Like I just, and it wasn't like jumping on something that I knew I was winning, doing air quotes, because that's good podcasting. I liked this trade. I thought it was awesome.
Well, I threw the third in right off the bat because I didn't want to hassle. I just wanted to get it. I wanted to make the deal and I didn't want to get into, well, can I do a little bit more here and a little bit more there? I had like three 2023s, I think. And I was like, I'm going to send one and hopefully that'll get it done. And it did. So it worked out.
Yeah. And honestly, if it didn't have the third, I probably would have tried for something. I mean, it may not have been a third I would go for. Like maybe it would be a depth piece, but yeah, I probably would have come for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So good call. All right. Why don't you pick one of your trades, Alex?
All right. Let's go with the top one there. So Philip Lindsay, Tevin Coleman, Paris Campbell for Chris Godwin, a 2021st, a 2022nd, and a 2021 fourth. Again, half point PPR, half PP one day.
I have to get into a points per first down league. The only time I did that was the Scott Fish Bowl last year. And it's interesting. Here's the sad reason I really don't like it. I like looking at a box score and knowing how many points my guy scored. Like, I like seeing this many catches for this many yards and this many touchdowns, be like, oh, 18.3. Nice. And you can't really do that with points per first down. And that is honestly the only reason. That's not a great reason. So I'll probably try then jump into one of those next year. All right. I got to be honest. I love Paris Campbell. But I think this is the Chris Godwin side. And I think kind of handedly. But it also might have to do with the fact that I'm not the biggest Philip Lindsay fan. I'm not a believer. I believe in a lot of the stuff we were saying before about Royce Freeman getting his chance. I think they said Lindsay's injury will hold him out of the beginning of training camp. And with a new coaching staff, that's huge. They're not going to be like, oh, this undrafted guy did really well last year, so we're going to give him over, you know, this guy we've seen hopefully doing well in training camp. So I'm not like glued or stuck on Lindsay in any way, shape, or form. And Tevin Campbell, nice. Tevin Coleman, yeah, he burned me bad. I think he'll get a nice share of this backfield, but there's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts on this side. Like we said, Chris Godwin had a nice base last year, and that's now coming into A, his breakout year, B, Bruce Arians. And then you get a 2021st, 2022nd, and who thought of throwing in a 2021 fourth? Like, why? Like, I would have rejected it and countered without the 2021 fourth just to prove a point. Like, what? That's my...
You have to talk to Matt Nagy about that one. That was I don't know where that came from.
So, Brian, what do you feel about this one?
I think it's... I like the deal. I think it looks pretty good to me overall. I think I would lean the Godwin side here as well, personally. I really like the picks in this. You know, the 2021st and the 2022nd. You know, for I guess if we're breaking down parts here, you know, 2021st, I'd rather have them Campbell. 2022nd, I'd probably take for Coleman, even though there's a chance that one could backfire big time if he's used as their exclusive lead back, you know, in that Shanahan offense. And then I think I'd rather have Godwin over Lindsay. So, but all very close there. So, you know, I don't think it's... I like this trade overall, but I'd lean Godwin side.
You in any of these? Were you either of these sides? Because that's proper English.
I was not either of these sides.
All right. So how'd you feel when this rolled across your email?
Wish I was the Godwin side. That's for sure. But I think it is. I think it is close. I think it's just, as Brian said, all three of those main pieces, if you put them side by side, I think all of the pieces on the Godwin side are slightly better than, slightly more preferable than the Lindsay side.
Did you notice how I completely left out the fourth two discussing?
Good, because
left out what?
The fourth.
The what?
The fourth. I'm just going to keep saying it every time.
He's making a point.
No, I got it, Brian. Don't worry. I got it.
Just want to make sure.
Like, if I'm competing this year, I think I would be absolutely cool with that, with the Philip Lindsay side, because he'll come back, he'll get his touches. I just don't know if it'll be last year. Tevin Coleman, even if he's a 50-50 split, even if he's the Tevin Coleman of the Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman in here, he's still going to produce. He was still a running back too when he was in Atlanta and healthy. And I'm completely... and I like Paris Campbell. I think he can produce right away. So I think if I'm... yeah, if I'm like that fifth place team and I'm looking for steady something because I have too much hit and miss, I think this is a very good trade for them. Value-wise, I take the Chris Godwin side. But if that's my 2021st and 2022nd and I think I'm winning the league, whatever, I'll give up the 112 and 212. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think Augie had some decent depth to play with here. So for him to give up the Philip Lindsay side and get Godwin and some picks, I think we're pretty good. And Matt was going for – Matt definitely looks like he's going for it. He's got a lot of good pieces that I think could very much help him compete this year.
Boom. Called it. All right, Brian, why don't you pick a guest trade? Wow. Listener trade. Words. Shit. It's getting late, man.
All right, listener trades. Let's go down. We will go. Ooh, this is. All right, we'll go to Chris Carroll at CHR1524PC on Twitter.
CHR15 because that's like Chris.
I did not see that until you pointed it out. So,
sorry,
my old eyes.
Really techie of you there, Brian.
Shut it.
Get it. He brought it back from before. It's funny.
Call back.
So the trade. Todd Gurley for Dalvin Cook, James Washington, and a 2020 second.
All right. We were talking about Brian, you brought up before when you were talking about Nick Chubb. Would it be awesome if he was that 25 touch guy? Yeah, that would be awesome. Does he need to be? I don't think so. Todd Gurley with 18 to 20 touches is still going to be a top 10 running back. He's no human being should be a 30 touch player because clearly this is what happens to them. Giving Todd Gurley 18 to 22 touches, I think, is beautiful. I think he will still be a top 10 running back. That being said, if I were going to sell Gurley, I would love this. I love Dalvin Cook. I think he can be everything Gurley is on probably the same amount of touches because I think you bring in Alexander Mattison in a trade up for the third round to use him a little bit, kind of like the same way what's their names did with Daryl Henderson. So I don't think Cook is going to be a 30 touch guy, which coming off a torn ACL and then a iffy year with his hamstrings, I don't think you want him to be anyway. I'm not a James Washington fan necessarily, but before when you were talking about if one guy can just stick to the outside, I think it will be James Washington because I mean, he was a lot of people's wide receiver ones coming into the draft. Landing spot kind of killed it a little bit. Obviously, you know, that was correct for the moment. Value-wise, I like this trade. I mean, what is Gurley worth right now? It's different in every single league. I don't think Gurley has a consensus value, and it's driving people insane, and I'm one of those people, which is why I probably won't trade for or trade away. I don't have a Gurley share. Yes, I do. I have one. I probably won't trade him away unless I get something crazy coming my way. But I like this. I think this is spot on what trading Gurley should be like right now. So, I mean, thumbs up. Chris Carroll.
What do you think, Alex?
I think Outhouse is spot on in terms of the value. I'm a big proponent of saying that both Gurley and Dalvin Cook, at least for probably the next 2 years, are in the same boat in the sense that I think Cook has that injury tag to him. So as much as we currently are thinking about Gurley's injuries, Cook has that past. So whether or not you want to call it the ACL with a compensation hamstring injury, if you want to call him injury prone, there's still that label applied to him right now. And I think the biggest thing for Gurley right now is just trying to limit his contact. So I think I'm pretty sure the stat last year was he and CJ Anderson were getting 3.2 yards per carry before any kind of contact with that offensive line. And I question the Vikings offensive line right now. Yes, they added a couple rookies, but they're rookies. So we don't want to jump too far into, you know, saying that Dalvin Cook is going to have a great offensive line this year when he definitely has not had a great offensive line. So I think Gurley is still going to be great on 18 touches a game. That's still probably about 90 yards of rushing, and throw a touchdown in there, that's 15 points. I know that's low for Gurley, but that's still pretty serviceable and solid. And you know he has the potential to add that in the receiving game. So I think this is great value. I personally still want the girly side in this, I think. I think James Washington is a bit of a question mark right now just because of landing spot and the addition of Deontay Johnson and his not necessarily breaking out yet. And the 2022nd, I think that's a nice piece just if you were to go get Gurley. I think that's a fair addition here, but I say Gurley side.
I mean, yeah. Just because you read the question doesn't mean you have to, you don't speak.
No, I think, I mean, I think I still want Gurley here too. I mean, we could all end up getting burnt here if the knee issues are legit and he, you know, only has 150 carries, you know, next year and Henderson comes up and is an animal and all that. But I don't know. I arthritis in the knee. I can't imagine there's not half the running backs in the league that have arthritis in the knee. Mm-hmm. So, here's the other thing. Like the thing that I don't understand or the thing that, you know, I mean, Todd Gurley threw 12 weeks of the season last year was the same Todd Gurley we saw from the previous season. Like, you don't just like, he didn't just get arthritis of the knee in week 12, right? I mean, it doesn't just like, it's not like he tore something or it like arthritis happens, you know, throughout. So like he was probably managing it prior to them announcing it or not announcing it, but prior to them taking a little bit off of his workload and he was ridiculously good. So I can't imagine, you know, yeah, is he going to carry the ball a little bit less, touch the ball a little bit less? Yeah, he probably is. But like you said, Russ, I don't think he needs the volume to have the production. Now, is he going to be setting records and scoring 450 fantasy points like he did in a bunch of leagues and different things like that? Maybe not. Is he going to be a top?
Make up a number.
Yeah, I was trying to make up a number. Like top five or six running back?
Probably.
You know, so and Dalvin Cook, here's the thing about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is 100% potential right now.
He's like 92% potential. We saw a little bit of what he could do.
We did.
Four
give
games
me 8%. Give me 8%.
Four games his rookie season.
Which is about 8%.
It's like a 2021 four.
And I love Cook. You know, I like Cook too. He's another player that I like. I don't. There's a lot of question marks there too. You know, you talk about knee injuries and injuries in general. I mean, he's had shoulder surgeries and, you know, the knee and all kinds of stuff there too. So my guess is he probably going to get arthritis of the knee too eventually. So
two things I want to mention about this. In crazy analogy, we're going to switch sports for a second, but as a Sixers fan, shout out right to Ricky Sanchez. This is similar to Joel Embiid, where you have to manage him throughout the season. And I could see one concern being if they decide that in the beginning of the season they want to limit him to, say, maybe 12 to 15 touches and let that go for the first 8 weeks of the season and then start using him more heavily as the season goes on. Great for your league if you make the playoffs. Could be a concern if you don't have him in the beginning. And the other thing I'm saying, I'm not making this trade if I don't have the ability to draft Daryl Henderson at the 105 or trade a 2020 first for him straight up at this point, because I think if you're getting Gurley, you have to have him. He was the best outside zone runner coming out of this draft class, and he went to the best outside zone team in the league. You have to have him on your roster if you're making this deal. So I just think that's a major caveat to making this trade.
All right, we're going to jump. At Dynasty Drive-By, Daryl Henderson went to the Gurley owner for Jace Sternberger, the man who helped you win our mock draft, Brian, and Damian Harris. Would you give up Jace? If you're the Gurley owner, would you just did this trade. You just bought Gurley. after you're done with that, would you send Jay Sternberger and Damian Harris for Darrell Henderson?
1,000%.
Yeah, I don't even like him, and I would. I mean, we talked on the last show, Russ, about how crazy I think it is to spend a first-round draft pick on a backup running back.
Mm-hmm.
A backup to an elite running back. Not like a backup that's going to come in and compete or come in and, you know, threaten. And I mean, this is Todd Gurley we're talking about. And there's a lot of people. And I know, there's a ton of people that think that Henderson is worth spending a first round pick on, even if they don't own Gurley. I'm not of that group of people. I'm not of that mindset. I'd still do this deal, though.
Yeah, to me, it's pretty easy. I would do that too. I mean, even value wise, like, this isn't overpaying, I don't think. So I think this is pretty spot on. So, I mean, I figured it was an easy transition and a quick one to talk about. If I'm selling Darrell Henderson right now, I think I want something overpaying, because especially if it's going to the Gurley owner, because you know what they're thinking in their mind. They're like, I can't win the ship if I don't have this guy. Exactly like you were saying, Alex. It's just like, to me, like, you're dangling and you're waiting for him to jump a little higher to get it. There's nothing wrong with this trade on face value. Like, value wise to me, it's completely perfect. But if I'm raking someone over the coals, even if it's you, Brian, even though every trade we do is fair, I'm getting more out of you.
Shout out Jay Sternberger as Greg Cosell's tight end number two over Noah Fant.
I mean, you got to have something. Yeah, you plant a flag.
Better than 17 yards of reception in college. I like him.
He's good. Don't get me wrong. But
soon as Graham leaves, I like him.
Yeah, whatever. I was about to go into Jimmy Graham thing, but I don't need to go into Jimmy Graham thing. I don't know. Is there any other trades on here you guys are burning to talk about?
We do one more. All
right.
Actually, we ought to do all three of these, man. Let's do a rapid fire here.
All right, you want to do rapid fire the rest of the listener questions?
Yeah, let's rapid fire the rest of the listener questions.
All right, first let's get Alex's out of the way, because he put one on there, even though they don't really need to put a listener question on when you're on the freaking show.
Yeah,
put on there.
Dallas Goedert for a 2022nd.
Goedert.
Yeah, he's not a yes. Yeah, we have talked about what the hell, how do you trade Dallas Goedert? I want more than a 2022nd. We always say I want production right now, because he is right now, like, the definition of future production. Because if Ertz leaves, oy. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Deleted. At Garland Boys. He's literally the only person that actually gave us league details. Superflex PPR 0.1 point per carry and tight ends premium. Here's our tight ends for the day. Travis Kelce for Rashad Penny, OJ Howard, 2021. DLF Trade Analyzer had this very even, 563 to 583. So that's pretty spot on. And again, that's taking into account the 3-for-1-ness of it all. Words, Brian, you're the resident Travis Kelce guy.
Yeah, I want Kelce. So here's the deal. This deal, I was looking at it, holding my head, because it's giving me angst. It's like I have a feeling of angst. But I'm going with the Kelce because I love Howard and I love that 2021st. I think OJ Howard in 2021st, value wise for Kelce, you know, even without the other guy in this deal, is it would make me think, but.
On my first round running back.
You're what? Oh, yeah, the mistake. The mistake.
At house first round.
That's my running back. Yeah, no, I'm not a Penny fan at all. Our boy Peter loves him, so. So I'll go with Kelce just for that, because Penny's on the other side of the deal. But I think it's pretty close, honestly. Value wise, it's probably pretty close.
I think I take the package side. 0.1 point per carry. I know it's not the 0.25 that the world is going nuts with. That it's just too much for me. But still, if Penny does take over that backfield, Carson does have a thing with getting hurt. OJ Howard is awesome. So whether he will be Kelsey or not, who knows? But you don't need him to be in this deal. And then that 2021st, if that becomes another running back to give you that 0.1 point per carry, I think it's worth it. I think I go with the package side. Alex, you talk now.
Package side, rapid fire.
Nice. Keeping it short. At Joshua R. Whaley 2, Superflex League. I blanked on Kamara's first name right there.
Alvin.
I got it eventually, but yeah. Nice. Alvin Kamara for Juju and Jimmy Q. GQ. Damn it. Good thing this is the last one.
Juju and Jimmy GQ for me. And I love Kamara.
Yeah. Starting quarterback. I know Kamara is the big bad voodoo daddy since we're bringing up old stuff. The Juju and Kamara are close enough that a starting quarterback should more than bridge the gap.
Didn't we just say Juju was 9 in ADP?
Yeah, Kamara's probably like 4 or 5.
Yeah. Give me that side. Give me the Juju side.
Yeah. And hey, it's Ross, not like you're giving up running back. Like, it's not like, oh, I have like 16 running backs, so I can give up one to upgrade to Kamara. This is strange. Guy who traded away Jimmy and Juju. You're wrong. But on that note, words are leaving, getting tired.
You want to make an on-air trade?
You got something for me?
Maybe.
I see that grin. If you have, let's do it. What do you got?
Trade Addicts 3. I will give you Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, crap.
Oh, boy.
Post handcuffs. Okay.
For Kerryon and Diggs. I really want Adams, but I know that.
No, we need to talk about you trying to get Diggs back for me in this league right now. This is the league where I came after Diggs on his team and he said, "Nah, I'm not looking to get rid of Diggs." And then he trades him to someone else and then I have to go through that guy to get Diggs. So no.
For Elliott. Out
of principle,
for I'm not Elliott giving you too. Diggs. It was for Elliott too. Okay. What
No. And no. Don't even come near Adams with that. No.
What about Keenan?
Night, everybody. We'll talk later. Right. But before we head out, are you on Twitter, Alex? Do you have a handle to drop or anything?
Sure. Yeah. It's at retrovado16. So it's just my last name with an E instead of an I. So yeah, at retrovado16, you can find me on Twitter. I'm normally liking retweeting polls. Just got hooked up with Trader Joe. He stuck me in one of the poll DMs. So I'm looking to. Always trying to find some polls, always trying to comment here and there when I can.
50 freaking people he drops in one of those chat rooms, those DM threads. 50 people of a poll retweet. Like, I don't have to retweet enough polls already. I said, yeah, thanks, guys, but sorry. yes, hit up Alex. Clearly, he is a smart guy, not only because patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, he is a member of the Cool Kids Club.
He also graduated from Penn State.
Yes, sir. We are.
Penn State, baby.
Yes, sir.
Do you want me just to leave you guys alone for
this? Yes.
You can close this up yourself.
It's been a while since I sang the closing.
We'll get some Zombie Nation going. It's cool.
Man, we're talking about a lot of 90s stuff today. It's really weird. TradeAddictsPod.StoreEnvy.com. Buy some shirts. Otherwise, night, Brian?
Night out, Alex.
Yeah, night, Alex. I think we're done.
Night, Alex.
Night, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Barr. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.